Well, praise the Lord. It's great to be with you again for Bible School, From Faith to the Nations. Bible School, we're going all over the nations, many, many different nations all over the world. Before we get into the lesson, the third lesson on the new birth, let's go before our Father in prayer and ask Him to give us revelation. Ask Him to teach us. It's His Word. I can't do this on my own through my intellect. It's important that the Holy Spirit is the one that does the teaching. We yield to Him. You yield to Him. You have Him on the inside of you. I yield to Him. Together we learn. Together we receive revelation. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You again for another opportunity to be able to teach Your Word. I thank You for each and every person that is out there going to school, that is receiving from You. And I pray right now in Jesus' name that You bring forth this lesson in a way that each and every person can understand, that they can have revelation. Thank and praise You for these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our first class that we are teaching is on the new birth, and it's such an important topic. It's such an important topic that we have revelation of. Not only does this benefit you to know what really happened when you prayed that sinner's prayer for the first time, and of course I encourage you, if you've not prayed that prayer, go back to the first lesson and listen to the end of the lesson. And it's at the end of the lesson where we have a prayer, and you can pray that prayer and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and be born again. And then you can lead others as well. And that's the reason that we start with this is our first class, because it's important that you know what happened to you. And not only is it important that you know what happened to you, but it's important that you know, have revelation of this, so that you can share with other people and bring them into the kingdom of God through the new birth. Bring them to a place where they can make that decision to receive the most important gift in their whole life, and that is the new birth, to be born again, eternal life. Why did we have to be born again? We saw in our last lesson that we sinned. And because we sinned, we brought into ourselves a sin nature, into ourselves being spirit. Remember, you are spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body, and that sin nature affected us not only in the spirit, but in the soul and in our bodies. Well, Jesus came. Jesus came. He died on a cross for that sin nature. He paid the penalty of sin. He went to hell, and that He resurrected. And through the resurrection, He provided you and I a way to receive His life, eternal life, and to be born again. So all of sin, and that's the reason that we must be born again, because we sinned one time, and when we sinned, it opened the door for the fallen nature of sin to come into us as spirit and separate us from God. You don't want to live separated from God. And not only do we not live separated from God after we are born again, we become His sons and His daughters. We are in His family, and we have eternity with Him to look forward to. Isn't that powerful? Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 23. Romans 6 and verse 23. And look at this verse. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." The wages of sin, this is the wages of sin, is death. Death there being separation. Remember in our last message, last teaching, we found out that there are three kinds of deaths that pertain to human beings. You are a human being as a human being. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. Three deaths. There's physical death. Death always means separation for the human. The physical death is the spirit separated from the body. There's spiritual death, which is a human being separated from God as Father because of the sin nature. And then there's eternal death. And eternal death is those that have left this earth without receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. They rejected God's answer for sin, and because of that, they spend eternity in hell, hell Hades, and then in the future, hell Gehenna, the lake of fire. I am so glad that's not my future, and I'm so glad that's not your future. That's why Jesus came. God did not want anybody to spend eternity. He didn't want anybody to spend eternity in hell. That's why Jesus came. That's why we were born again. For the wages of sin is death, but look at this. Let's not stop there. The sin nature wages is separation. It's the root of death is sin. But, there's a condition. The gift of God. But the gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that you have this life? Yeah, you do. If you prayed, which I know you did, or you wouldn't be into this third lesson. But you prayed and you received. It's a gift. I told you it's the best gift you could ever receive. The gift of God is eternal life, or to be born again, eternal life, to be born again, the new birth. It all means the same thing. You have God's life in you. Eternal life. Actually, the word eternal life there is the Greek word zoe, which means to have literally the life, the spirit, the nature of God. Ooh. Eternal life, notice, through who? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus made it possible that we could be born again. So we had to be born again because the wages of this sin was death. It was spiritual death, separation from God, due to a sin nature in the spirit. Where did this come from? Oh, it came all the way back from the beginning of man, the first man, Adam. Yes, Adam sinned. And because Adam sinned, we had to come into an earth that was full of a sin nature, who the Word of God teaches us that Satan at this time is the God or the ruler of. He is the ruler, meaning that he's like the manager. Doesn't mean that he's the owner. The owner is God. He's the one that created it. But Satan at this time is the God of this world in a manager position. And the reason that he is because Adam gave the dominion that God gave him over the earth over to Satan by sinning in the beginning, by creating a crime of high treason to take what was given to you from God, dominion over the whole earth, and turning it over to the devil. And that's the reason the earth is in the condition that it's in. But when Adam sinned, he brought a sin nature into this earth. And in Genesis 2, verse 17, God told Adam not to eat of a certain tree called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It says, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. This is what it says in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, it says, in dying you shall die. Death there is actually in the plural, meaning more than one death. Remember those three deaths? Those three deaths go back to this verse right here. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the reason it's called a tree of good is because it's referring to, Holy Spirit, bring this back, human good. There it is. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, he helps me. But of the tree of knowledge of good, human good. Human good is where we have all of the religions in the world, man looking to become right in his own way with his own ideas, human good and evil. That's all the bad stuff that's in the earth, all that was in this tree. Thou shalt not eat of it. God put that tree there to tempt or to test Adam, that had a will, and Adam was to make a decision. And the decision that he should have made was not to eat of this tree, but to eat of the tree of life. But he chose the wrong tree. There's other legal reasons that he put that tree in the earth as well, but I'm not going to get into that in this lesson. That's something that will come. There was a reason. Yes, 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 there was. People say, why did God put that tree in that garden? You know, didn't he know that man was going to sin? He had to put it in the garden. There was a reason. But I can't tell you why in this class or in this lesson. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, or you're going to die one way, and then because you die one way, you're going to die another way. Death there is spiritual death. Adam died spiritually on this day, meaning that he took within himself a sin nature on the inside of his spirit, and he was separated from spiritual relationship with God. And that's exactly what you see if you continue on and go into Genesis, the third chapter. You find out that the relationship that Adam and Eve had with God was broken in a spiritual way. For the first time, they experienced fear, shame, they hid themselves. All these things came into them because of this sin nature that entered into them, a spirit that then started working in their soul. And it says that they acknowledged that they were naked. You know, before that time, wasn't no big deal. They ran around naked all the time and didn't think anything about it. But here they're naked and they're ashamed. They're ashamed that they were naked. I believe that they actually were clothed with the glory of God. But that was removed from them because they died spiritually. Spiritually, a sin nature was imparted into them because they ate of this tree of knowledge of good and evil. They died spiritually, and then later on, many years later, they went to live over 900 years. They died physically. It was never God's plan for anybody to die physically. All of these things came into the earth because of eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that's why, again, we must be born again. It goes back to what Adam did. Adam brought this sin nature into the earth. And that's why all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's look in Romans, the fifth chapter. Romans chapter 5. And we see in the New Testament, in one of Paul's epistles, another reference to Adam bringing sin into the earth. And because of what Adam did, we must be born again. Now, I'm not going to tell you that Adam's in hell. He's not in hell. Jesus died and paid for the penalty of Adam's wrongdoing. Jesus is actually called the last Adam, meaning that he identified himself with Adam's fallen condition. He paid the price on the cross for Adam's sin. So yes, you're going to see Adam and Eve someday, and do not condemn them when you get to heaven. No, you won't. You won't do that anyway. But don't even be thinking that way. Adam, why did you do this? God sure doesn't put them down. They're forgiven. They're in heaven. They're in a holy place. Romans 5 and verse 12. Romans 5 and verse 12. It says in verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, and who was that one man? Sin entered into the world. One man being Adam. In fact, there's a verse in Timothy, I don't remember exactly the verse, I'm sure that we'll get into it in the future classes, but it says that Adam was not deceived and Eve was deceived, meaning that Adam knew exactly what he was doing when he ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and he knew what the consequences would be. He knew that he would die spiritually, and as a result of spiritual death, he would die physically, but he did it anyway, and he's the one that brought this sin into the world. That's why we had to be born again. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and notice, death being this separation from God due to the sin nature, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Right there it is. Goes back to Adam. For until the law, sin was in the world. Even though, you know, the law didn't exist until Moses' time, sin was still in the world, and that sin goes back to what Adam did. But sin is not imputed when there's no law. The reason that God gave the law was because of sin that created a lot of bad results, and God had to have something to keep man from killing himself. And he had to put some kind of standard in the earth, or man would have completely destroyed himself. Nevertheless, death reigned. Death meaning that separation between God and man from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Verse 15, but not as the offense, offense meaning Adam's wrongdoing, so also is the free gift. What's the free gift? The new birth, eternal life. Aren't you glad it was free? You didn't have to work for it, and you didn't have to do anything to deserve it. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, referring to spiritual death again, not talking about physical death, spiritual death, being separated spiritually from God because of the sin nature, much more. Oh, here it is. This is awesome. Much more the grace of God and the gift. Gift what? The gift of the new birth, to be born again. The gift comes by grace, not by what you do through all your good works. That's not how you get it. Not because you deserved it. No, that's not how you get it. It came because God loved you and he wanted to have relationship with you. And he wanted you to spend eternity with him, and he didn't want you to go to hell. That's why he did it. And the gift by grace, which is by one man, hallelujah, one man brought sin into the earth, and there's one man that brought eternal life into the earth, rescued us. It says, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us. One man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. All over the world, people have received the new birth, and they're continuing to receive the new birth today. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification, for by one man's offense, Adam's wrongdoing, death reigned by one. Well, death is reigning in the earth today because of what Adam did. Much more, hallelujah, but you know what? We're in the earth, but we're not of it. We've been changed. Much more, they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness, this gift comes because of God's righteousness, which is eternal life. The new birth to be born again shall reign in life. And I like the way the Amplified Bible says it, in life as a king by one, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you go down to verse 21, of course, you can read the verses in between saying the same thing. But it says in verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. You find the term eternal life is talking about the new birth to be born again by Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's why we had to be born again. We had to be born again because of what Adam did back in the garden. And we had to be born again because God wanted to give us his life so that we could have a good life. We could reign in this life as a king. Woo. We could live in this life as a king. Wow. Jesus took care of the sin problem. Adam sinned, but Jesus took care of the sin problem. Jesus, the one man, came and took care of the sin problem. Let's look at another passage of Scripture Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Hebrews chapter 9, and here's an awesome verse. Hebrews 9. You know, I say that a lot. It's an awesome verse, because I'll tell you what, all the verses are awesome. The Bible is God speaking to us. Hebrews 9 and verse 26, it says, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared," referring to Jesus, "hath he appeared to put away sin." Notice it doesn't say sins, it says sin in the singular, referring to the sin nature. "He hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Jesus gave himself up. He gave up his life. He gave up his perfect life. Going to have a class on the blood covenant coming up. It's powerful. About Jesus laying down his life and taking his life back again and then giving that life to you and I. That life is what we were born again with. He put away the sin nature, by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus took care of the sin nature. John 10:10. It's another great passage of scripture. It says in John 10 and verse 10, the thief, referring to Satan. And if you want to put it into a little bit more detailed context, he's talking about Satan using religion. "The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy." Read the 9th chapter and see who Jesus is speaking to and what he's speaking about, and you'll find out that he's referring to the thief being religion. There's more people going to hell in the name of religion than anything else. There's more people being stolen from in this life in the name of religion more than anything else. And Satan uses religion to blind people's minds, to keep them from going to heaven, to keep them from receiving the new birth, to keep them from being healed in their body, to keep them from prospering, keep them from reigning in this life as a king. "The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come," hallelujah, Jesus is speaking here, "that they might have life." We have life. "That they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Here's that word life again. The word life is Zoe. It's referring to the new birth. It's referring to be born again. And it says that they might have it abundantly. We have this life of God in us through the new birth, that we can have an abundant life, that we can reign in as a king in this life. Isn't it wonderful? The Amplified Bible says that we might have and enjoy life. Yeah. After you're born again, you have the ability to really live and to really enjoy life. In John 5 and verse 24, and I'll give you this reference, it talks about that we get this life because we believe on him, on the one that sent Jesus. And it says that when we do that, we've passed from death, spiritual death, unto life. We have passed from spiritual death to receive eternal life, or the new birth. In Ephesians 2 and verse 1, it says that we've been quickened with this life. We've been quickened with this life. And then in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, and verses 8 and 9, and we'll look at this. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, in verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace are we saved, not by our works, lest any man should boast." Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, again, let's look at this. You can look at this with me. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not by anything that you've done, not by anything of who you are, not by the fact that you've got a great heritage or were born into a certain family, not anything of yourself. It is the gift of God. You're saved or you receive this new birth, not of yourself. It's a gift, not of works, not because you've done anything, lest any man should boast or we get caught up in pride and say, look at us, look at us. No, we're saved by faith. Faith in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus. Jesus took care of the sin problem, and we believe in him. We put our faith in him. He's the one that took care of it. You don't work to get rid of the sin problem. You don't do any, all these things to get rid of the sin problem. If you had to work for it, Jesus didn't have to come. No, Jesus is the one that took care of the sin problem. He's the one that did the work. And all you and I had to do is receive. Hallelujah. How you receive the new birth is found in Romans, the 10th chapter. How you receive the new birth. Romans 10 and verses 9 and 10. And I want to encourage you, if there's one verse of the Bible that would be good for you to really get down on the inside, to be able to use to share with other people, it's this passage of Scripture right here. Romans, the 10th chapter, and verses 9 and 10. That's Romans 10 and verses 9 and 10. Very, very important scripture. A lot of people have gotten born again on the scripture. In fact, anytime I preach a salvation message and where people are in the service that have never received the new birth, and I come to the point at the end of the message where the people can make a decision to be born again and receive the new birth, this is where I go. Normally, these are the verses that I use. And these are great verses that you can use too to bring people to Jesus, that they can also receive the new birth. It says in Romans 10 and verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You confess his lordship over your life. You acknowledge that he's the one that is your Lord. He's your Savior. Nothing else. Him. He's the Lord. He's first. And you believe in your heart. You really believe in him. You believe in your heart. Remember, we said we had a heart problem. But we believe in our heart. Here's a place where it's talking about heart as the soul. You make a decision in your soul, with your will, to believe in him. Make a decision that God hath raised him from the dead. You believe in the resurrection. Thou shalt be saved, for with the heart, talking about your soul, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth. So you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. And with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. And that's why I encourage you. If you prayed the sinner's prayer with me, the first time that I gave you the opportunity in the first lesson, write us, tell us about it, tell other people about it. You need to confess with other people that you have received the new birth, that Jesus is your Savior, he's your Lord. At least tell somebody about it so that you can confess with your mouth to other people that you truly have received Jesus. That's the reason for even water baptism. Water baptism is simply you confessing to other people that you've been buried with Christ and are risen again, a new creation, a new person. For, notice, the Scripture saith, oh, what does the Word say? The Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I told you, you're not going to have a bad life. Going to have a good life. Remember what happened with Adam and Eve when they sinned? The first thing that came was shame. They were naked. They were ashamed. But now you're born again. The shame is gone. You no longer have to feel guilt, have to feel shame. It's gone. It's all gone from you. You're a brand new creation. You've been recreated. You've been born again. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all. He's rich. He's rich. Hallelujah. Unto all that call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what you did. You prayed and you called upon his name. You believed in him from your heart. You confessed him with your mouth. And you were born again. You were saved. You're on your way to heaven. Aren't you glad for what Jesus did? And I see that our time has come to an end for our third lesson on the new birth. Wow. We're going deep, aren't we? I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus again for each and every person. Thank you that you've provided for them and for me this new life, that we are born again, that we're on our way to heaven, that we're on our way to spend eternity with you, then come back and enjoy the new heaven, the new earth. We have so much to look forward to. And I thank you, Father, that most importantly, you are our Father, and we are your sons and your daughters, and that you made this wonderful relationship with you in the Spirit possible through your Son, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for doing it. And I thank you for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look forward to being with you for our fourth lesson on the new birth. This is Mark Urban.